you so much, young people. Appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you would, please. The guys are going to be putting up a slide back behind me that'll stay up during the message, and I'll tell you about it here in just a moment. Billy Cawthon was called to the hospital. They believe that his dad is very close to going home. He actually looked at his daughter, Linda, and said, "It's time for me to go home." And so pray for them. Probably one of our deacons needs to see Brother Bob because he's going to need help counting this morning. So if one of our other deacons can see him, I would appreciate that. And then my Sunday school class, we're back together this morning, so we'll meet in our classroom. They're working on that picture back there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want us to look at this text this morning and kind of work through the process. I've entitled the message, "We Are Better Together." We are better together. I want to pick up in verse 12 here of chapter 12. And it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." He goes on to describe for us in verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye," number one, that'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? I mean, if an eyeball just come rolling in here today, right? "Where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Behind me you can see, we are better together. We are greater than me. Yeah, that's really the point. This is not original with me. I was visiting a church and I saw this and I thought, wow, that is really good. And it goes well with our theme of being committed to come, to grow, and to serve. The chapters of chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about gifts and their usage. Look at chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Look at chapter 14, verse 1. "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." So Paul has tied all these together. We'll come back to chapter 13 in a little bit, but many times we call chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians what? The love chapter, the great love chapter. And it is gives us some tremendous truths about love in that chapter. But you realize Paul is relating that as it relates to spiritual gifts within the body of Christ. Obviously, we're not going to deal with every aspect of these chapters, but I wanted to touch on this as it, again, relates to our theme. One author said, "Some Corinthians apparently fell into grading the gifts, attaching importance to public, showy gifts, such as the gift of utterance or preaching or whatever, and relative unimportance to the less observable gifts." So Paul is going to deal with that. Now, he comes into verse 12 that we read here. Let's go back and read verses 7 through 11. He says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." What is Paul saying? Paul is saying it's important for us to understand that we individually are gifted, But that individual gifting is for the body. In other words, that individual gifted is not for me to use as I want to. It's to be used in the body. We'll talk about this a little bit later on, but it's important for us to understand that whatever gift God has given you to use within the body, God gave that to you. Which tells us a couple things. Number one, you shouldn't glory in that gift. You didn't choose it. God gave it to you. He placed you in that position. You also should not despise that gift because God gave it to you and He intended for you to use it. Okay? As an individual, you should not despise someone else's gift. Now, it is our tendency, okay? I've had people actually say this to me. It is our tendency to expect everyone to accomplish our gift. Why? Because that's what we're passionate about, right? Like, if it's our gift, it's the area we're most gifted at, right? And it's the area that we're passionate about. And we want everybody to be that way. You're like, well, how come you're not more hospitable? I love hospitality. Well, the reason I'm not more hospitable is because God gave you the gift of hospitality and you're supposed to do it. That's part of it. Now listen, it doesn't mean that if you don't have the gift of such and such, we should never work on those things. Well, God didn't give me the gift of giving, so I don't ever have to give. No, that's not what it means, okay? But it does mean that naturally within the body of Christ, God has gifted us. And by its nature, there are going to be some gifts that are more prominent, right? So a prominent gift is what I'm doing right now. You all see that, okay? How many of you know the names of the men who dug around here yesterday for a water line and trimmed the bushes? Okay, a few of you, but most of you don't. Was that something that needed to be done? Yes, it is. It's something that the local church needs. Okay? And we could go on and on about that as we work through that. Now, there are a variety of opinions on gifts. Okay? Variety of opinions. You could talk to just about anybody and you're going to get a different opinion on how many gifts there are, when they were given, how they're used, and da-da-da-da. Okay? But let me give you one view of them, and we're not going to talk about all the nuances of it, but I like this aspect. I've always struggled with the idea that there's just six or seven gifts and da-da-da-da, and we could go into all of that. But I love what one author said about this. He said, here are the types of gifts, in his opinion, not just from this text of Scripture, but from all the texts of Scripture. Now, by the way, some of these we know are what we call sign gifts. Mark 16 tells us that these signs shall follow them. They were gifts that authenticated the New Testament church. They're no longer in practice today because they're not needed. We have this. Okay, so some of these gifts aren't needed because now we have the completed Word of God. But he breaks it down like this. He says there are six speaking gifts: prophecy, teaching, exhortation, wisdom, knowledge, and tongues. There are four gifts that Christ gave to the church. In other words, the gifted men: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. He says there are nine serving gifts: ministry, mercy, giving, ruling, faith, healing, discerning of spirits, helps, and governments. And again, we could argue about some of the nuances of that in different people. I've read different things where they're like, no, that's not a gift. This is not a gift. This is a gift. It's not a gift. Okay. The point is that God gave us a diversity of gifts within the body. And He intends us to use those in the body. And by the way, when you don't use them, then the body doesn't function well. So in other words, you can't just say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm done with doing whatever God's called me to do. Well, if you're the nose, the church's going to have a problem smelling. That's the analogy. Now, are you literally a nose? No. Paul was just giving us an illustration, okay? But in other words, but he brings this point out, doesn't he? If everybody wanted to be the eye or the nose or the ear or whatever, then where would the other things be? You must understand, for all of us, whenever we do not practice our gift, something in the local church goes missing. That's what God is saying for us here. And when that happens, then the church doesn't function well. Let me just say this on a side, okay? I think part of the reason that some people are frustrated in churches is because they're having to serve outside their giftedness. Because whoever was supposed to serve in that giftedness isn't doing it. And so then they find themselves a little more frustrated, a little more exhausted, a little more whatever, because it's outside what they were specifically gifted to do. Like, Pastor, are you saying that God has gifted Emmanuel Baptist Church with everything that's supposed to be done? I believe that. And I believe we as a local body are gifted in such a way that completes the larger body of Christ. Okay? We get to be a part of that. Okay? That's why, for instance, I don't think it's God's will that every single church in the world complete everything that's possible to do in the world. I don't think God's gifted us that way. Matter of fact, I don't think it makes economic sense. Okay? Why should every single independent local church have a printing press to print Bibles when we could have several of them have printing presses and print Bibles and fold them, put together, whatever? But we don't need every church to do that, okay? We don't need every church to create their own curriculum and print those. We don't need every church to have their own mission board. And you see what I'm saying? But we as a total can come together to help that in the big picture. Now, couple other things that authors have said about this text that I think are really important. One author said this verse, specifically referring to verse 12 that we opened with, forms an excellent three-part summary of the rest of the chapter. One, the human body is a unit, verse 13. It's talking about the unity that's on the body of Christ. Number two, the human body has many parts which are necessary, with a necessary diversity in its members. Number three, the parts of the human body work together as one with a dependent mutuality as each part fulfills an important function. Okay? Likewise, the body of Christ has a diversity of parts functioning together. That's the point, all right? So in other words, Paul is saying it's important that the hand do what the hand is supposed to do. Okay? Now, you might be talented enough to walk around on your hands. But that's not what your hands were designed to do. Okay? Your feet were designed to walk around on them. Not on top of them. On the bottom of them, unless you're mom, and then your tops of your feet get walked on all the time, right? In the process, okay? But you and I know this already, just by virtue of living. When one part of our body doesn't work well, the rest of the body begins to compensate for it. That's why, for instance, maybe you have one eye that's dominant over the other one, and that one eye becomes the eye that you see out of all the time. And we've had a number of our people have surgeries, hip replacement, knee replacement, or whatever. Not only does that body part need to be replaced, but if you're not careful, your compensation because of that body part can make the other body part get worse, right? Basically since COVID, and I don't know this for sure, but I've read a couple things, talked to my doctor and so forth, but I've had some really weird joint pain. And you don't realize, maybe you do if you've had it, but if that little joint right there on your thumb is not working well, that thumb will not grip. Like, there's been a number of things that I've gone to grip, and it's like, oh, man. Or even some of these fingers, and it travels. One day this finger will be hurting, the next day this will be hurting, the next day this one will be hurting. It's like, okay, well, it's all long COVID is what it's called. My back doctor said, I've got tons of patients coming in. That's exactly what you're dealing with. It's getting less. But it's really been amazing to me how one little part. Last week sometime, this thumb was just, man, I could not get it to stop hurting. And some of my shirts have a button right here. I could not button that hardly because this thumb wouldn't work right. You know, it's like, this is a little bitty part. But it's necessary for the body to function how it's supposed to be. But here's the uniqueness is, it doesn't do away with the diversity of that body part. The fingers look different than other body parts. So sometimes we think, now get this, because it's really important, okay? Sometimes we think that unity means we have to do the same, look the same, be the same. That's not what unity means. Unity means we are one in a common thing. And what does Paul say that common thing is? We're one in the Spirit of God. Because we were all baptized into the body of Christ, the Spirit of God. We'll deal with that in just a few minutes as well. So it doesn't mean that we lose our individuality. Okay? But it does mean that our individuality only contributes to that which we're supposed to be doing. That's the goal of the unity in Christ. And that's really important for us to understand, especially, hear me really closely, especially the more individual rights are emphasized in our country today. Got eerily quiet, didn't it? Now, please hear me. I'm not saying that we don't have individual rights and that certain rights of the Constitution were not guaranteed us and so forth. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's okay for people to abuse you or any of that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is if we're not careful, we will make our individual rights, whether that's in our local church body or whether it's in our family or whether it's in our country, the main thing. And when we do, I think we're missing out on Scripture. I think we're missing out on exactly what Paul was saying. And so today, we, in a lot of places, we have people that are more concerned about them. What can you do for me? And it's exhibited all over the place, isn't it? This past week, going to school, I'm driving the speed limit. And I have a guy behind me flashing his lights. Flash, 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 flash. And I'm like, I'm going the speed limit, which is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when he gets ready to turn, he turns his brights on and just blinds me the whole way through. You know, like, there, I'll prove the point to you. And then Friday, Lisa went to school with me on Friday, and we had a guy, I'm talking, almost hit us head on. And he was passing in a no passing zone because the guy was going slower than he wanted to go. We were in a drive-thru a couple of weeks ago, and a person took their trash and just chunked it out the window. And I'm like, you don't know how bad I wanted to get out of my car and go pick up the trash, but I didn't know if they had a gun or not. So I thought, well, it's probably not worth all that. But it's like, you can see how these individual rights are so important. It doesn't matter. You'll stop for me, which, by the way, the guy that was driving the truck that was being passed and me both slammed on our brakes. If not, we would have hit him head on. We were like, would have served him right. Yeah, but I hit him head on. Like, last time I checked, that's not a good thing for you to go through either, right, in the process. And he knew that, right? So it was all about him in the big picture. Another author said that the point is analogy, not identity. Christ dwells in the church after the resurrection, but possesses his own body as well. The basis for comparison lies in the fact that all Christians, despite the inequities of their former existence, have now been bought into this body. Galatians 3, verse 27 and 28 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. We've been brought into this body by a common experience of the Spirit in baptism. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we are one together in this body. And we, just like this says, we are better together. We are better together. You're like, well, I can make it on my own. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. And listen to me. We have people saying that today. Just recently, I had a confrontation with someone who basically said, I've got an internet pastor. Well, I'm like, well, why don't you call him and see if he can't do X and X for you? which, by the way, they couldn't get in touch with him. But here's the deal. When we think we can operate individually, then we miss all kinds of things. And what we're in essence saying is, I'm a finger, I'm okay, all by myself. Okay, well, how does a finger hear? How does it taste? How does it smell? How does it know to point like I'm doing right here? Well, you're like, well, what does that on its own? No, it doesn't. It does that through all kinds of ligaments that go down here to this elbow and blood that flows through and the brain that tells it. In other words, as ludicrous as it would be for us to say an individual body part cannot survive, it's just as ludicrous for us to say as individual Christians that we can survive without the body of Christ. We must have each other. And if for no other reason, by the way, to sometimes say, hey, that's not right. That's not a good thing for you to do. Hey, wait a minute, that leg is hurting a little bit. So you need to figure out what's going on. For the last, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months, I've had the left thigh has just been tingling a little bit. And so my doctor's given me all kinds of stretches, and if I actually do them, they work, and so forth. But it's what's interesting is this part of the thigh right here is amazing that it's connected way up here into the lower back. And what that lower back does dictates the blood flow to that thigh. And I can tell when it gets blood flow and when it doesn't. That means they're all connected. And that's why Paul uses this analogy in this text of Scripture. So this morning, first off, we're not going to get done with the message because all of that was just introduction. And I have more than a couple of points, okay? But let me just give you the main thought I want to look at, and I'll take you to one point, and then we'll stop and we'll finish next week, okay? Here's the main thought that I want us to see from this text. We must function as a whole body or we will be dysfunctional. We must function as a whole body or we will be dysfunctional. Okay. Number one truth from this text of Scripture is we are committed to unity in diversity. Okay? We are committed to unity in diversity. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are that one body, being many are one, so also are you in Christ. You see what he's saying there? One, many, one, many, one, many. He uses that 3 times in this text of Scripture. So in other words, you're an individual body part, and yet you're one. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 19. For if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, your body is not made up of one member. Okay, I should have looked this up, but I didn't. Anybody have any idea how many parts make up us? It would be in the thousands. There's thousands of cells. Last I looked, I don't think it's changed, but there are hundreds of miles of vessels alone in the body. It's pretty fascinating, actually, when you look at it, right? We are one body, yet many members. We are one and yet distinctly different. So God wants us to be one, and yet he doesn't want us to lose the distinction of being different because he's called us to do something. Again, he doesn't want the hand to try to be a foot or an ear or an eye because the ear is supposed to be the ear. And the eye's supposed to be the eye, and the hand's supposed to be the hand, the foot's supposed to be the head, and so forth, okay? If we were all one member, then there would be not really a body, right? There would be an item, okay? You ever walked in a doctor's office? Maybe it's a hearing doctor or whatever, and they got a giant ear, you know, or a giant eyeball, and you're like, okay, I'm like, it's just kind of weird, right, or whatever. And again, that's kind of the picture that Paul is trying to draw for us today is, what would it be like if that happened? If we came into church this morning and said, I left everything but the ear at home today. Well, number one, you couldn't say that, right? You could hear it, but you couldn't say it. You see the point? And Paul is using that to say, hey, do you understand? Now, for the church at Corinth, what was happening here, and we'll be done here in just a second, but what was happening for the church of Corinth is, if we're going to continue to use the body analogy, the church at Corinth was saying, in essence, look, I'm the mouth, and obviously the mouth gets the most attention, therefore I'm the most important. And somebody else would say, wait a minute. What do you mean you're the most important? Like, the mouth can't do anything without a tongue. I'm pretty important too, you know. Wait. Can you talk without hearing? Can you? Not very well, by the way. That's why deaf people many times cannot talk, because they don't know how to pronounce things, because it was part of the hearing process that teaches them to learn that. And we could go on and on with that, okay? So what has God called you to do within the body? If you're not doing anything, can I tell you, the body's suffering somewhere. If you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, your job's suffering, and somebody else is being lazy and not letting their job be done, or whatever it might be. That's the point that Paul says all the time. Be careful with that. Okay, now we've got more things we're going to talk through this as we work through this passage. But it's important for us as we look at this slide, and again, this is not original with me, but we are better together in all kinds of ways, right? One of the things that the Clarks can enjoy is they pretty much knew, because they know how we function around here, that we were continuously praying for them. They knew on Wednesday night, when that slide goes up, their names are on that slide every week. We're praying for them. That's part of it. Now, could Brother Jeremiah say, I don't need the local church. I can do this on my own. After all, I'm an evangelist. By the way, I know some guys who do that. And I don't think it's a good thing. Now, I'm not saying this because of him, but can I tell you something? He needs a pastor. By the way, this local church needs an evangelist, because God gave us to him. That they need that. And by the way, I need an evangelist sometimes, because sometimes he's like, wait a minute, pastor. Let's talk through this. What about this and this and this and this? I mean, he's always so soft-spoken that it's difficult for me to get out what he really means about it. But other than that, it's okay, right? I appreciate that. I appreciate that challenge. And we could go on, by the way. And next week, Lord willing, I'm going to do some of that. So some of you get ready, because I'm going to put you on the spot next week. All right? Because God has gifted the body, and it's important that we understand that. Okay? Father, thank you for your word. We need it. We need even the future of it, what we're going to learn in the next week or so. Help us together to love each other, to function together. It's so important. We need you. Help us now as we go to Sunday school, and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. You're dismissed to Sunday school.